All right, we're going to be taking our passage of Scripture today out of the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7. And we'll begin, we're just going to read three verses. Excuse me, we will pray and read and read and pray, one of the two. And we'll see what the Lord's got for us here today. So, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7, begin reading down here in verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command a locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, semicolon is very important here today, church. Watch it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, after these things have happened, then the Bible says, will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, y'all know me. You know, I don't like to preach to the calendar and I don't like to preach to current events, but certainly believe that this is the direction the Lord would have for us here today. So we're going to bring our sermon here this morning while I chug my water, keep my throat good and moist, on this particular thought of what will it take to get our attention. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for being so good to us, for loving us, for saving us. Do pray that everyone who hears the sermon here will get exactly what it is that they need out of it. We're asking you, Father, please, for those who have come down with this coronavirus, for rapid healing for them. Pray, Father, for Brother Jim as he's got the issue there with his toe, that be able to get that taken care of quickly. And we do pray, Father, that you'd help us, please, to be obedient to you, to follow your holy will. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Almost said for you, you can be seated, but since y'all are sitting at home today, you're probably already seated. Amen. We're going to be focusing in on verse number 13 here. But, of course, it will lead into verse number 14 as well. And this is certainly here at the time when Solomon has just completed the temple. And specifically, he has just completed the dedication of the temple, offered all the sacrifices. And he has prayed to God and he has requested God's great mercy upon the nation of Israel here. And God has responded to him that night here in this dream. And he's talking to Solomon and he explains the situation to him. And tells him, says, you know, if these things happen, it's going to be for a reason. It's not going to be because I'm bored, I've got nothing better to do. It's going to be because y'all need punishment. You've brought trouble upon yourselves and you're going to have to be punished. But at the same time, it's like a coin. You know how we've got heads on one side and tails on the other side. If one side is punishment, the opposite side of that coin is encouragement. Punishment for what we are doing wrong. Encouragement to stop doing the wrong, to get back to God, to get back to doing what the Lord would have us to do, and instead of us doing whatever it is that we feel like doing. And certainly the connection, I believe, can easily be made between all of these recent events and how just things are getting that much worse. And we seem to be getting further away from God. And he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to be like a good father and punish his people, not for the sake of abusing us, but for correcting us. And he's trying to encourage us to get right, to stay right, and to follow him and avoid his judgments there and get the good blessings that he's got for us. And maybe we are just having all these issues because we've stopped paying attention to him. We've gotten ourselves distracted. We've gotten ourselves lost, as it were. And guess what, church? It ain't just, you know, the lost people who have bad things happen to them. It's everybody has bad things happen to them. Now, some things are just natural. Some things are just life. Other things are God coming down and reprimanding his people. And in this particular passage of Scripture, we see here where God's saying, if I got to come down and I got to reprimand you, I've got to punish you, I've got to send tribulation, trials, troubles your way. Understand it's for a reason, but also understand things can get right. I'm simply trying to get your attention. Will you let me get your attention, or will you continue to fight me? Will you continue to have problems? What's going on here? Instead of just letting me have my will and way. Letting me be what do what I can to be a help to you. Because guess what? As the church goes, so goes the world. If the church starts going toward the world's going to keep going toward itself. If the church will pull away from the world, we could actually start to pull some toward the Lord. But too often we're simply sitting here, just floating down the river, ignoring the fact that we're hearing rapids up ahead, and rapids usually indicate a waterfall coming up. We're getting ready to go over. God's trying to get our attention. He's trying to speak to us. Will we listen to Him? That is the question that's going on here today. And that's what we do. Get through to His children. I believe we could see three things here in this Scripture that we are looking at, where God is got a little bit of a point to give to us. Number one, of course, is the plight. And all of our words will begin with the letter P today. Just throwing that out there for you in case you're taking notes. Amen. We like to try to do the alliteration thing. But as you're reading through again, verse number 13, and he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, one thing. If I command the locusts to devour the land, two things. Or if I send pestilence among my people, three things. We've got three recent examples actually sitting right here in this verse from what? 2,500, 3,000 years ago, whatever the case is. Few thousand years ago, and it's recent to today. You might be sitting there scratching your head. Well, I'm drawing a blank, preacher. I don't get it. What, how are these things recent? Well, wildfires, for example. It says if I send no rain. If you ain't got rain, you're going to have droughts, and you have the potential for wildfires. Amen. Now, people there in California, they, you know, and I'm not trying to pick on California, it's just, you know, a state that came to mind. They've had a lot of issues with wildfires here the last several years. And some people have pointed to this policy of you spot a fire, you put it out right away. Well, the thing about that is if you don't let some of these fires actually burn until they burn themselves out, you're just stockpiling all this dead undergrowth that is fuel for a future wildfire. And so when the wildfires break out, they've got a lot of fuel there. And when you ain't got rain, it makes everything good and dry, ripe for fire. Australia, you know, some of you all may remember the beginning of the year and everything that was going on there and all the animals that people were trying to rescue. And it was horrendous. Even firefighters from here in America were flying down to Australia to try to give a hand to the firefighters that were on the front lines down there in Australia. And it was horrible. But did you know that those wildfires broke out back in September of 2019? They were fighting them through to the end of February of 2020 because there was no rain that was taking place. And what little rain they were getting wasn't enough to make any sort of a dent into the fire. So when God says, I'm not going to send you any rain, I'm going to close up the windows of heaven and there's not going to be any rain. Rain's a type of blessing, so He's withdrawing the blessings. With the blessings withdrawn, there's protection that has been lost there, and aggravation that is building, and eventually you're going to have destruction coming your way. Now that's as far as the rain goes. It says here, if I command the locusts to devour the land. So, well, some of you may remember, also back in February, was starting to make the rounds about all the locusts that were running amok there in Africa. And I got to thinking about this, and I'm like, yeah, that's right. You know, what all is going on? How big of an area in Africa did it affect? You know, because I haven't heard a whole lot about it, especially once the whole coronavirus thing took over. I mean, it locusts really took a back seat to it. But ain't that how it is here in America? If it ain't bothering me, I ain't paying attention to it. Okay? But here's the thing about the locusts. Check this out. The locust outbreak in Africa began back in May of 2018. Now that, like I said, started to make big news come February. And it's like, okay, you know, we're not hearing about it anymore. That obviously must be done. So I started looking it up. I wanted to know more about these locusts that God seems to have stirred up. And I found that it started in Somalia and Ethiopia. Okay, well, yeah, that's definitely Africa. All right, makes sense. It has now spread across into Kenya. Africa, okay, makes a lot of sense. Feel sorry for Africa. It seems like they're always getting hit with the locusts. Saudi Arabia. Wait a minute, Saudi Arabia is not in Africa. Saudi Arabia is in Asia, and it's separated by the Red Sea. You know that thing that Moses and the Israelites crossed over there, and you know Pharaoh and his army got drowned in? This is now in Asia. Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Iran, Pakistan, and India. By the way, this report is as recent as March 17th, last Tuesday. My soul, it's still growing. But like I said, it's not affecting us. We don't care. Shame on us. But God has said, I'm sending plagues of locusts. By the way, if you listen to some of these Christian organizations out there and how the gospel is being spread around the globe. And if you'll start there in the book of Acts, okay, let's start with the book of Acts and you watch how God is moving from Jerusalem. It started to go up just the least little bit and then it started moving on over into Europe. And then what happened a few hundred years later? Well, Christopher Columbus allegedly discovered America. However that nonsense goes, I wasn't there, so I can't say. But then Europeans started coming over. Missionaries started coming over from Europe over here into America. The pilgrims came over here to America. They were looking for religious freedoms. And it began, Christianity began to spread across North America, began to spread across South America and all that good stuff. And it's slowly wrapping around. And we had the opportunity there during World War II at the end of it there. I believe it was MacArthur, who had requested missionaries be sent in mass over to Japan there because they were ripe for the picking of getting that nation turned into Christians. And it's going over, and then you look here about the persecuted church in China, and it's just circling around. And when you start looking at these maps of these people who are going out to evangelize in the world, and you will see that it has begun there in Africa on the southern end, and it is slowly working its way northward with a slight curve back toward Jerusalem, and the growth of Christianity reaching across Asia as it is making its way over toward Jerusalem there. You've got all these Christians, and it is as if it is coming down to Jerusalem. It began in Jerusalem. It's going to finish there in Jerusalem. But it's in that area right now where the locusts are attacking. A little bit of food for thought. What are they doing wrong? What are we failing to do for them? So what about the third one there, preacher? Well, he says, if I send pestilence among my people. Pestilence among my people. Well, none of that has affected America, has it? What pestilence have we observed here in America? Well, I can think of one. You might as well call it the coronavirus. It certainly falls into this COVID-19. It is right there as a pestilence that is greatly affecting America. It officially began December 31st, 2019 in China. And it's been making its way around the globe there. Cruise ships being affected. People going on vacation, flying over there, flying back again. And it is spreading like wildfire. The state of Washington, so far, my understanding, has been the hardest hit with it. But it just keeps on spreading. And we're practically begging for a pandemic anyways. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, be the voice of doom and gloom, but you think about it, with the way that we're able to travel rapidly from one part of the country to another part, from this country to that country, circle the globe and all this stuff with our jet airplanes, the cruise ships, this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, we are very susceptible to this pestilence there. We've made it available to ourselves. The same way we should be making available the gospel to a lost and dying world, we are opening and exposing ourselves. What has happened over the last few weeks? Our sporting events have been canceled. I was listening to the news on the way in, and there's only like one or two major sports left in the entire globe that haven't been canceled yet. Short of those that haven't even started back up, you know, such as American football. Concerts have been canceled. Group outings have been canceled. Our restaurants. I delivered bread to restaurants. Trust me, I understand the effect this is having. You can call up and place the order. They'll meet you at the curb. If they've got a drive-thru, you can come through the drive-thru. You can't come and sit down right where their bread and butter is having you inside the restaurant. Can't have it. Some restaurants have had to just outright, you know what, we'll see you again in a few weeks. There's no point in us even bothering open. The bars and casinos have been closed too. Maybe there is a victory in there somewhere. But these things have been lost to us, if you will. Jobs are cutting back. Layoffs are happening there. Hey, I've even been given paperwork to allow me to go driving, whether it's to work, home from work, out on the route, back home from the route, whatnot, in case of martial law being imposed. I've got official paperwork to allow me to do these things. Hey, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just letting you know. Things aren't looking very pretty because of this pestilence that is taking place. Pastors are being chewed out for having church services, letting everybody come in the door. Pastors are being chewed out for closing the doors of their church, saying, no, stay home and just watch on Facebook or whatever live streaming platform that we offer. Facebook is even condemning pastors. Because they dared to say, hey, the church is going to remain open. No official word from the government for you to close, for us to close down. But social media say we're not supposed to, so they're condemning. Saw that this morning about Pastor Greg Locke. So my video might even get struck down because I dared to say that right now. I don't know. I'm not terribly worried about that at the moment. I'm just trying to do what I feel the Lord would have me to do during this time. And with our lifestyles taking such a hit, and people are being given every excuse they need to be as lazy and crazy as they want to, it helps to keep in mind what Jesus said there in Matthew 12, verse 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Y'all have seen some of the videos going on over here at the local grocery store earlier this week when there was this run on toilet paper for some crazy reason. It's a sinus thing. It's a lung thing. Not a need for toilet paper thing, but people have gone absolutely nuts. They're fighting old people. Hey, I grabbed that package first. I saw it first. I'm taking it from you. All this other nonsense here. And we've got this plight that we've got because we've gotten away from God. We've been indulging in our sin. We've been indulging in our own selfish desires, our own selfish needs. And it's little wonder why we've got such problems here in America. Why we've got to have the social distancing. We need to have that just to keep from knocking each other out. Church, God says, I'm sending this as punishment for your misbehavior and as encouragement to come back to me. Say, preacher, why did you just say church? Isn't this the lost world's fault? Isn't this the sin and the wickedness of the people that we live in, the society that we live in here? Shouldn't we be blaming them? We're just as responsible because so many of us have dropped the ball. Nay, so many of us have set that ball down intentionally and says, forget it, I don't need it no more. The police are the bad guys. Well, okay, fine. You want the police to be the bad guys? Then you are supposed to be policing yourself and your own family. Maybe you need to start taking care of what's at home first and then worry about what the police got to say. Till then, I'm going to stand with the police and the firefighters and everybody else trying to do their job. Yeah, there's some bad seats. Guess what? There's some bad seats there in the front row of the pew, too. God says this plight, it's causing problems. It needs to get resolved. And speaking of problems, it's our second point there. And I actually heard this past week about how people are saying that this is as bad as World War II. I'm gonna be honest with you. I was not born during World War II or before World War II. I was born little ways after World War II. I didn't see it. Alright, be honest with you. I've read about it. I've heard stories about it. I've seen some of the history about it. And I certainly have seen Hollywood's portrayal of it. But I know this much. What we're going through right now is nothing like what they did during World War II. But that's the issue. We've got this selfishness. It's all about me, 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 me. And since I am going through this, since I am the one facing this, obviously this is horrible. I've never had to deal with this before. Therefore, it must be as bad as some of the other atrocities that I have heard about. Yeah, there's some from similar things. A lot of it, what makes it so similar, though, is a four-letter word. Fear. Fear motivates us to sit down, motivates us to back away, motivates us to run away. Fear is the opposite of faith. Last week I said we weren't going to live by fear, we were going to live by faith, and we were going to have church. We had church last Sunday. So what changed that you canceled church this week? Well, early on, I was told that we needed to prepare to be sheltering in place. Possibly even martial law. I was given paperwork to allow me to be able to move around as an essential member. I don't even remember how they phrase it now, but basically because I helped drive bread to different locations, therefore I was essential. So if we were going to be facing something like that, I didn't want people getting arrested simply for trying to go to church. Yeah, we don't need to be trying to pass around anything like that because, you know, who knows how well people are washing their hands? It's a shame that 2020, when we're supposed to have flying cars, we're teaching people how to wash their hands. But, you know, I digress. So we had to use a little bit of common sense and say, okay, we're not going to have the church today. where we're all gathering here at 116 East 29th Avenue, but we are gathering here on Facebook, because I'm going to go by what 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7 says. And what's that, preacher? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. That word fear there, as it is used, means to be timid. In other words, to be a coward, to have cowardice about you. God doesn't want us to be afraid of our own shadow. Use common sense, but don't be scared. That's why when you look at the armor of God there, everything is on the front. There's nothing covering the back except your shirt. There's no armor there on the back because you're not supposed to turn your back to the enemy and be running, so you're an easy target. God wants us to go forward in His power, forward in His strength, forward in His might, forward for His cause. Now those who don't have Jesus as their Savior, they have a real hard time with this because they don't have access to that same power that you and I have got. Those who are detached enough from the Lord. Now they're saved, but they're not living where God would have them to. Yeah, they're going to have a hard time with it, because they ain't got their faith muscles built up. You're going to have some Christians who, their natural disposition, because we are still in our flesh, they've got a little bit of timidity to them. It's, well, I'm afraid. Well, yeah, I understand. I'm not condemning anybody for that. But that's why I'll bring up 2 Timothy 1:7. Because God has given us not the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. He's given us something to work with, to go through our problems with there, and see how much encouragement we will find if we will run back to this verse there, and we will run to other verses there, and we will find exactly what the Lord God Almighty has got for us. Amen. Fear is in of itself a natural thing. Even true blue dyed-in-the-wool Christians are going to have this problem. But again, 2 Timothy 1:7, I'll give it to you yet again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The word power there is talking about both negative and positive side of the Christian life. It is to help us to overcome the obstacles there. You've got something coming at you, you can't overcome. You think about little David there, and he's standing there before Goliath, and Goliath's telling him about how he's going to mop the floor with David. David didn't sit there and say, Goliath, let me tell you all about you now. No, he said, I'm going to tell you about God. You might be twice the size of me, but my God looks at you, and you ain't nothing to Him. That's power on display there, church. That's faith moving forward. He says of love, love will balance the power for us. So why do we need balance? Because I don't need to sit there and hurt you by putting on the power. Huh? I don't get it. Well, you ever seen these little cartoons and it shows us guy is supposed to be Jesus and he's dragging somebody away, and at the same time he's just screaming away, waving the Bible, and there's this other person over here and they got, you know, stars spinning around their head and they're holding their head because they just got beat up, and the little caption underneath says, Jesus didn't call us to win arguments, He called us to win souls. I don't need to win an argument with you. What I need to do is win your soul to Christ. We can work on the doctrine later. And then when we work on the doctrine later, I don't need to have a knockdown, drag out, fist fight with you over what I believe versus what you believe. There are things I will stand on and I will not absolutely be on a shadow, but I will not compromise on. But there are other things that there is enough leeway there in the Scripture where I can't be dogmatic, so I will, okay, we can work with that. But praise God, let me just say this real quickly here. Salvation is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, not Mary, not any saints, not the cross itself, nothing but Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. That's so good I had to get a drink of water. Love will balance that out so that people aren't getting hurt, but they're getting the truth. We need to get them the truth. And finally, it says lastly here, of a sound mind. That word sound mind means to be disciplined. I didn't have to be here today. I'm just going to throw this out there. I promise I will not charge you for this. I didn't have to come here today. I could easily sat there and said, well, we canceled service. You know what? It may be no one decides to watch. I might get through this whole thing here and go back there and see that no one ever signed on. And the devil told me about how discouraging that would be. The devil said, why don't you just stay home in the comfort of your own house there? You can sit around with your family and watch television and everything will be good in the hood. But the Lord has said, Dennis, you need to go Sunday. So long as those roads are open to you, you need to go to 29th Avenue Baptist and you need to broadcast from there the Sunday service. And I got to think about it. So you know what? So long as those roads are open, I need to do that. I hope the roads remain open because I really don't want to be doing it from my basement study. I don't want you to see how messy that is. But I had to determine I was going to be here. It took discipline to be here. Yeah, I know I'm slightly out of uniform. I hate ties. So since no one is here present with me, I decided to slack off and not wear a tie. Please forgive me. Stone me later if necessary. Praise God, you can't do it right now. You'll smash your own phone. But the fact of the matter remains, He's given us these powers. If we'll only use them. To fight the problems that we've brought on ourselves. And because of this, that power, we're told that in this verse, we can use fear in a productive way. It's fear in a productive way, yeah. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word fear as it is used here means respect. Respect for the Lord. In other words, we have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to God. We have to start going after Him. God has blessed our country so much. Because we started off as a Christian nation. And then when Israel was brought back onto the scene here, back in the 1940s there, we decided we were going to stand with Israel there. And we held God in great esteem. We held His people in great esteem. And we obeyed His word there. We started off all of our Ivy League schools as seminaries to train preachers to go out there and preach the word of God. Our courts honored the Ten Commandments, had them on display. Prayer and the Bible were what our founding fathers wanted to see in schools. But those are being thrown out. Revisionists say that was not the case. It was, but they say it's not. They've demanded the courts remove the Ten Commandments. Our Ivy League schools are for training doctors and lawyers now. Sex is no longer sacred between a husband and wife. Now it's, hey, whatever you want, however you want, who cares how many different mamas your kids have got, how many different daddies your kids have got, don't matter. Just do what feels good. Life's no longer sacred. We've got it where in some of these states where you can abort right up to the point where the child is starting to exit the womb. I know, that's sick. Please forgive me for saying it, but it needs to be said, church. We keep going down further and further and further. And there's some that have even here of late and with all this stuff with the coronavirus saying, hey, man, this is just a sign that surely Jesus is coming again soon. Why? Preacher, what do you mean, why? Why is this a sign that Jesus is going to be coming back any moment now? Why are you asking that, preacher, ain't it? No. Read through your Bible. America is not in Scripture. Maybe one time over there in Ezekiel 38, as one of the lions. Maybe. America's not there. Have you ever stopped to think about it? It don't matter what takes place in the United States of America here. God doesn't need nothing to happen here in America to fulfill prophecy. We could be wiped off the scene. We could be bought out by a foreign country. Who knows? We might still be just going on with our bad selves and throughout the whole course of the Great Tribulation period. All we've got right now are troubles and trials, tribulation. Jesus said there in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. He said nothing about America will have tribulation before the Great Tribulation period. Just throwing that out there for you. Remember what the Bible said there in Proverbs 1:7, the second half of that verse? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. People don't want to turn back to God. They just want to blame Him. Think about it. When the school shootings happened, where was God? Why did God allow it to happen? I don't know. Maybe it happened because you've thrown God out of the schools. You know, just putting it out there. Well, where is your God when all these things are going wrong? I don't know. You've thrown Him out of our country. You've thrown Him out of our courts. You're doing your best to throw Him out of the church houses. Christians have thrown Him out of their lives. Because we've got to make room for all the activities for our kids. We've got to make room for all of our personal hobbies and habits. Where's God through all this? We've despised His wisdom. We've despised His instruction. We've gotten away from it. So we've got problems. But let's reread verse number 13 of our text. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, semicolon. In this particular case here, you could almost change that semicolon to the word but. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, but if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lastly, I want you to notice the patronage. The word patronage means support or protection. With all that is going on around us, we have in effect been like that child who's gotten in trouble with mommy and daddy. And mommy and daddy have sent the child to the room and told him, you can't watch any more television. Now what happens with that child? The kid ain't stupid. Either A, he's got a television in there and all his video games and whatnot. Or B, let's say this is the doorway here and where the camera is the television. Now they could sit there and watch television real nicely here, but they've been told they can't do that no more. So they come on over here and they're standing in the doorway of their room. I'm in my room, but I'm watching television now. That's mom and dad's favorite program, NCIS. Oh yeah, I'm watching it. I'm in my room. They can't yell at me for being in my room, but I'm able to watch television still in the living room. Come on, church, think about it. How many times have we been doing that as Christians? God's told us not to do something. God's He's punished us. And what have we done? Okay, God, I'm so sorry. But I'm still trying to check out that porn. I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me. But I'm still gambling. God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Oh, that's smart. But I'm still watching. I'm still trying to drink. I'm still trying to use drugs. I'm still using this language and saying that and telling these dirty jokes. I'm over here. I'm trying so hard. I'm in punishment, but I'm still trying to do this. God's sitting there saying, if you'll just knock it off, think of what I can do for you. Think of how I can help you. He says here, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Humble ourselves, church. Actually come down here and start praying. Not just using words, but start praying. And calling out to the Holy God, asking Him to forgive us our sins. Naming those sins to Him so they can be forgiven. Things can start to change. He says, seek my face. How do we seek His face? By getting back into the Word of God. Studying, reading, memorizing Scripture, doing those Sunday school lessons, taking notes while the preacher's preaching, actually reading along, highlighting, underlining, doing anything and everything, getting back, seeking the will of God instead of saying, this is what I'm going to do. God, what do you have for me to do? Find out just what is there for us. They will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We get back to the Lord. And when we get back to the Lord, that means we'll start trying to lead others back to the Lord. And then we're going to start leading others to the Lord who don't know Him as their personal Savior. And we could start seeing things change. Because He says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God says He will hear, forgive, and heal. Once He's gotten our attention. My question to you this morning is simply this. What will it take to get our attention? Our most gracious Father in heaven, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. I believe this is a sermon You'd have us to bring to Your people, and hope and pray that everyone here got exactly what it is that they needed out of it. Help us, Lord, please, to be obedient to You, to follow after Your holy will, to get back to where we're supposed to be versus where we want to be. Stop trying to play in gray areas. Stop trying to compromise with You. Just be with You. Help us, Father, please. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray.